Collectively is a podcast series focused on exploring personal responses to the town of Eastbourne's art collection. This series approaches the nearly 100-year-old collection through a queer lens, feeling, tuning into, and selecting works that evoke memories, emotions, and experiences of queerness. My name is Renee Bourne Sutherland, and I'm an artist working with film and video, with a particular focus on bodies being carriers of narratives within landscapes, and the body itself being a site for transformation. Tanner invited me to connect with people from the LGBTQIA+ community living in East Sussex. After a number of sessions in the art store discussing artworks I had selected, each contributor was invited to choose works they would like to ponder and explore further. You can hear more from me, learn about the Towner and its collection in more detail, and how we sifted through 5,000 plus artworks in the first installment in this series. But in this episode, I discuss with Eva, Points of Contact, A, 1969 by Victor Passmore, and Standing Figure, 1962 by Keith Vaughan.
My name's Eva, my pronouns are she, her, currently based in Brighton. I work as a technician, artist facilitator, recently on some LGBTQ+ programs with PhotoWorks. And kind of in my personal practice, I use photography, photographing fragments and gesture of my immediate surroundings to kind of come back and pull strands and understand the way in which I place myself within landscape and navigate my way kind of in the world.
You chose a piece from the collection by Victor Passmore titled Points of Contact, A, made in 1969. Would you be able to describe the picture you've chosen visually?
So it's an ink work with a like painterly, waterly ink line from left to right. You can kind of imagine it like a horizon line. And then with slightly like bulbous circular points coming up to the kind of right-hand corner of the work and coming off these more like bulbous points as thin lines, kind of branch-like, like veins or sea anemone. And to the left of this is a golden kind of orb-like circle. And underneath the thicker painterly line, there's a singular line and it flows down that reoccurs kind of in a circular way, a little bit like a fingerprint.
Have you learned anything about Victor Passmore or this particular piece since you selected it?
Yeah, I looked at some of his other abstract works. I really liked the kind of colour, blocking, I mean, very minimal and abstract again. Yeah, I read a bit about him. He was a conscientious objector. He studied at Harrow, so person of privilege. I feel like I've kind of separated the piece from him as a person, which is quite kind of an interesting way to see work.
Why do you think you came to that? Because you were drawn to that image first, right, in the collection when we went through it.
I don't know. I don't think there's anything about him that resonates with me particularly. I can appreciate his work and his kind of eye, but I've only researched him in very simply that kind of resonates or draws me to him. I think I can't really separate his work now from kind of being reminded of these Yanomami drawings that I mentioned when we first spoke about it. So it feels like, in a way, my projection of that work is kind of above him as the artist, which, I don't know, if someone was saying that about my work, I'd maybe be somewhat offended. I don't know, but then...
But that's just your personal interpretation, yeah. Right? So yeah. It's not like a personal attack on him. Do you want to talk about the pieces that it reminded you of and why you were drawn to it?
The Yanomami people, which are indigenous kind of tribe communities in South America. I can't remember specifically kind of geographical location, but their drawings are kind of similar in the kind of traces and marks that's left on the image. And what's I've been really interested in the Yanomami works in the past is the kind of the way they place themselves in relation to the landscape around them. There's a lot of emphasis on sentience in like kind of forest and land, and in the way that they draw, it kind of emulates this kind of like pulsating landscape, kind of veins, everything, interconnectedness, I suppose. And the perspective of that is also really interesting in the way they situate themselves when they make, they kind of move the paper around, and it all feels very, a kind of a lack of separation in the way they place themselves to what they're drawing and their kind of natural world. And yeah, for me, that kind of, I don't know, emulates this like, sense of the way they see themselves within the landscape and kind of drawing, and it all feels kind of very, I don't want to say at one, because I mean it's like very, I don't want to other, it's very othering language.
It feels like they're tapping into the life force.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I feel like.
Yeah, kind of undulations and like pulsating connection, essentially.
I definitely want to look at that. When you were describing it, it was like their life force connected to the universe's life, you know, in which we are all connected. Wow. Obviously, that influenced your selection of this piece of work, Points of Contact, A. Why did you choose this one?
In the thinner lines, this kind of sense of kind of scanning or movement or kind of trying to understand one's surroundings, a feeling of kind of searching, of scanning, but in a more kind of less literal way. Something about like how you kind of navigate and place yourself in your surroundings. I'm quite interested in a kind of work in the past I've done about how people kind of navigate the world around them and then how they visualize that. And that work in a sense feels like I work predominantly with photography, but it feels quite emotive and quite like quiet and gentle. And for me, there's this like sense of like my queer experience in that.
So I didn't know Victor Passmore prior to you selecting this piece. And I was interested to discover that amongst the many other things that he was interested in, that he was originally painting in a style of Turner and Whistler. And he was very interested and focused on the Thames, so light on the water and water moving. But this piece that you've chosen, Points of Contact A, is, you know, pure abstraction. But for me, and it's really interesting, you talked about like a sea anemone and the kind of tendrils, but I really saw it more bodily. I saw it like the bronchi in the lungs or veins within the body pulsating out, or even like synapses on the brain or this kind of cellular level as well. And that kind of fingerprint that you described at the kind of right-hand side as it was going around felt very much circulation in the body. But I don't get an emotional read off this piece. I loved it and I hadn't really seen it until you highlighted it. I'm curious about that emotional reaction on your part.
Yeah, I suppose kind of similar to what I said previously, this kind of a different way of reinterpreting or like translating a landscape through this, what feels to me like a sense of like scanning and searching and navigating it kind of quite quietly and slowly. Yeah, I mean, it feels very sensory in a way. Again, this kind of sea anemone like movement and tension, I kind of visualize like a scanning like seabed, but I don't know, like the octopus. I'm moving my hands and no, you won't be able to see it, but I'm trying to think of the best way to like visualize this kind of like vibration that I get from those kind of smaller lines as they come off the like larger inked line.
I think you described that beautifully. Sensory is the right thing. And that thing of feeling vibrations is such a good thing in water or in space or energy in a room, like we feel it, right? So would you say that was an emotional reaction or more you were drawn to this notion of something feeling out space?
Yeah, I think drawn to the feeling out and a different way of responding to a space or kind of reinterpreting or translating it through the ink.
The title Points of Contact A, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think similarly that kind of sensitivity, reaching out, making contact, coming back. But again, I'm kind of really feeling this separation from the artist and the work. And I know that many of his other works were titled the same. So yeah, I'm just trying to understand the kind of title and the artist and the work itself and how I'm kind of presented and responding to it. I mean, it feels very in tune with that kind of like reaching out and a sense of like feeling in a space, and the points of contact you make and what you remember and bring back.
When I did a bit of research as well, that there were so many pieces of work and editions of work that were called points of contact something, points of contact date, points of contact A, you know, whatever. It's very curious to name a whole body of work with the same name. It's like an extension each time. So I'm going to move on to the second piece you chose, which was by Keith Vaughan, and it's titled Standing Figure. Can you describe this painting?
So it's an oil painting. So you're presented with like quite like rich texture and layer and bumps and kind of like curvature when you can see the piece. And standing in the work is a long limbed figure in the kind of middle of the frame. It's very like muted colors, and although there's a kind of separation from the background to the foreground and you can see that the figure is there, you're kind of presented with like a bluey light yellow like ochre patchwork on the figure.
Have you learned anything about Keith Vaughan or Standing Figure since selecting it?
I looked at his photography, the images that he took on the beach. and I read a little bit about his like working practice and how to kind of navigate his experience and translate it to painting without persecution. He would follow this path around Greek aesthetics, and it allowed him to hide who he was, but to explore, you know, something that's homoerotic and like men in kind of landscapes. And there was also another piece called Leaping Figure that I found that had much more like curvature than the standing figure. And it was interesting to see that piece afterwards. It like really complemented with the standing figure. It feels quite fixed. It's a kind of nervousness to it, but still kind of like gentle. But with the leaping figure, the kind of curvature breaks that for you. And there's, I mean, I don't know if it was made in a more expressive time of his life or something.
I selected a piece by Keith Vaughan for the second session that was titled Labourer Carrying a Hod, which he painted in 1954, which was a bit, well, you know, 8 years before Standing Figure. And I knew nothing of Vaughan, but when I saw the piece, I immediately like could read the queerness in it. It definitely felt like a male-on-male gaze and quite sexual and quite erotic. So I wasn't surprised to discover he was queer. He was originally an ad man who, during the Second World War, as a conscientious objector, switched to artist and was self-taught. And he primarily painted men, as you said, in landscapes. And he used his practice, I feel, like you said, as a kind of safety to be in those very masculine environments, so dockyards, work sites, etc. And then the series of photos that you talked about, they were discovered only after his death. They were kind of like, I guess, studies. They were also being able to look at men, I guess, freely. And he wasn't quiet about his sexuality, but it was still illegal at the time when he's painting these images. I'm often like seeking or reading artwork, kind of what you're talking about with points of contact, you know, that kind of reaching out, kind of scanning, feeling the vibrations of something. Do you personally feel there's a queer reading, not knowing anything about Keith Vaughan before, about Standing Figure?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I first saw it, I was presented with something that felt quite genderless. It felt like it was standing in the frame of the work in quite an uncomfortable, but again, like gentle way. It feels kind of large proportion-wise. There's a kind of uncomfortableness about it. But yeah, I think just coming back to that feeling of, I don't know, it feeling quite genderless.
Because actually Standing Figure does imply that it's genderless, right? Mm. It's not being given a gender. And when you look at it, it's a very square figure, but you can't directly apply a gender to it. You talked when we were up in the gallery about the iron giant. I loved that. I wonder if you can talk about that emotional connection you have, and that you could see that, and that's actually a completely different genre and art form, but actually this connection between the two.
The cartoon film Iron Giant, I don't know when it was made, but I watched it on and off a lot when I was growing up. And the storyline is, a kind of young boy, like single mum, is, you know, kind of left to his own devices. And this iron giant, this out of space figure thing, lands, and he finds it, and they have a bit of a kind of a language and a way to communicate. And, you know, it's a lot about the young boy finding a sense of place and friendship with this iron giant, and, you know, and navigating, and the iron giant having to navigate this forested landscape, small village in which he lives, and is, you know, such a massive thing, you know, higher than the trees in the forest. I mean, I can't fully remember the storyline, but it's that of like friendship and of, you know, the young boy kind of identifying with elements of the iron giant, and the iron giant itself, you know, feels genderless. It's, you know, it's come down to earth, and it's this awkward large, you know, metal blocks and like jigsaw, and I can't remember exactly what happens. I mean, I think it saves the earth or something, and then it like loses all of its pieces all around the world, and there's this kind of homing beacon. And I think the final scene is that it's kind of finding its way back together to then go find the boy, its friend. And it just really reminds me of the Iron Giant. I think I really enjoyed that film when I was younger. It was, yeah, just this friendship, you know, and this like sense of compassion that the young boy had for this iron giant. Yeah, I think it's like a lot of inner child stuff as well. Like, I feel like adults can kind of see or like perhaps want that like friendship. Yeah, it's interesting.
I found it fascinating because I'd never seen or heard of the Iron Giant, which I definitely want to seek out now. But like that narrative also feels quite queer for me, mm. like hiding a friendship, being taken apart, put oneself back together. Mm. And actually when you described it to me and I was looking at Standing Figure mm. with you, I suddenly felt like a huge empathy towards mm. the image because, as I have discussed with you, I have not been a fan of mm. Standing Figure. I love Keith Moore's work, but this particular painting just hasn't spoken to me. Mm. And actually, I couldn't get an emotional read from it. But as you started explaining that story, that absolutely changed. Yeah, I didn't like it, but now you're kind of winning me over through The Iron Giant. But also, I think talking about it, and I, you know, we were talking upstairs about, you know, you looking at his photos and also then contact prints where he was isolating body parts. Mm. And actually, when you look at Standing Figure, you can see that logic and how mm. almost like a study. Mm. He was studying the images, studying the body, and then he, like the Iron Giant, mm. pulls all these parts together.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, there's this like sense of fragment and fraction and that, I don't know, layering of like body and perhaps like experience or something, I don't know. But it feels like this kind of bringing together this patchwork person, I don't know, without, I mean, reading, you know, into his way of navigating his work and the world, you know, it's kind of patchwork and he could, you know, in later in life he could be free, you know, whatever that means in that sense, but take these images and then kind of come back and, you know, hide it, patchwork. Yeah.
Mm. Thinking about Labourer Carrying a Hod that he painted in 1954, which I feel is super sexually charged. Mm. Yeah, Standing Figure doesn't feel erotic or sexual. It feels like actually being present and putting together parts of representation.
Mm.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that we both picked Keith Vaughan mm. and that they're very different and there's a different span in time as well.
Mm.
Like for the Labourer Carrying a Hod, there is definitely for me, even though it's abstract, it looks like the man carrying a hod, which is in the foreground, is actually looking at the painter, mm. at Keith Vaughan. Mm. There's like that energy. And everything else is like blurred in the background, even though there's people, they're kind of on the periphery. But with Standing Figure, this kind of figure is popping forward and it is present. And like I said, there's a patchwork, so there's kind of nothing else but the figure
mm.
elevated forward.
Mm.
Is there a link between the two images for you?
Not initially, but in kind of our conversation, perhaps that sense of like searching of place, of like finding one's place, kind of feeling your way through things. You know, I'm thinking of the large hands and like the standing figure and I don't know, and that kind of the way it's slightly arched round, the way that Keith Vaughan's painted it, slightly arched round, that kind of, I don't know, trying to navigate in some way. But I think that's after kind of conversation and mm. and kind of initially, not really.
They do feel really different for me. I was trying to find that connection. But I guess, because you said that, the way the arms are arching around in the standing figure, and the mm. figure's kind of, it does feel like it's tuning into something.
Mm.
And actually, mm-hmm. you talking about, you know, those tendrils, the sea anemone, kind of those finger mm. elements, being feeling vibration, sensory, mm. there is, and that's only through our conversations. I would never have...
Mm.
put those two things together. But they're very different in styles as well, actually.
Mm. Yeah, really different.
Mm. Out of the two pieces, which one resonates the most and why?
I think Standing Figure, just, I don't know, the kind of thinking about that film, Iron Giant, and I don't know, this kind of standing and kind of finding yourself and this kind of like awkwardness, kind of out of place. I don't know, I think it something about it that feels... There's a familiarity, there's like a gentleness in the figure's kind of obvious, slightly tense posture and, yeah.
Can I ask you more about that awkwardness? Because that hasn't come up yet, actually. That kind of, you said, standing and feeling awkward.
Mm, mm. Yeah, just this sense of kind of like navigation, growing up and trying to navigate sense of place and identity and this kind of awkwardness. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's just something there's a familiarity to it. Yeah, my experience of kind of growing up rurally and trying to place myself and, yeah, find kind of community and, yeah, like-mindedness and, yeah.
I feel like there's more that you could say about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's so nice to just like discuss and, yeah, and really like talk about pieces of work. And it's really interesting and exciting. I'm really excited to hear other people's, you know, drawing from their perhaps research of it, their initial response, and then their own experience, which is kind of largely why we're brought together.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? That initial response. And that's why I'm really, because all the work that I chose was an emotional read or something that I could sense from my own experiences. And then when you go away and research, it can not necessarily change, but it can give you a different perspective or a different window. And there was a couple of pieces that I did choose that actually, I was like, once I did the research, I was like, drop them. You know, like, because it's like, actually, I have no connection with those. Like, I definitely felt something, but actually there's, isn't that connection. But then talking about it, what I love, I mean, you've totally won me around on Standing Figure. I really wasn't a fan of it. And I remember, yeah. And I remember seeing it actually when I first went through the collection and I was just like, like I remember thinking, there's nothing there. But Forevermore, I think my empathy or compassion towards the piece is definitely evolving. And that's what's so great about this project, right? It's other people's experiences and readings of work kind of connects us, especially in that, I think, in a queer context as well, because there's a lot of themes that overlap.
And actually, what you were kind of saying brought up something else, that this feeling of taking space, owning space, and being welcome in that space and comfortable. You know, that the figure stands quite like, it stands awkward and like out of proportion, but it's still taking the predominant part of the frame. And I think there's something in that for me as well. That idea of like being kind of confident in your space and being welcome and kind of what grows from that maybe.
I totally agree, because I think looking at the image as well now, the figure is definitely here and present. Like the stance of the feet are planted. But there is an awkwardness, right? So it's like I'm here even though I'm not quite comfortable potentially. Key Thorne, Standing Figure. If you could describe what this piece means to you in three words, what would they be?
So familiar, again. Awkward, but not necessarily in a kind of negative connotation, like more reference to kind of, I don't know, like awkward, sticky, like weird lives and like kind of upbringing and experience in a way. And then the third word, I think in kind of reference to the Iron Giant, again, that's like sense of like gentleness within all of that.
Lovely. So gentle, awkward, and
familiar, and kind of what grows from that maybe.
Well, thank you so much, Ava. I've really really loved it. I love chatting, and I kind of love that you've won me over on Standing Figure.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you for listening. You can find out more about the Towner and the collection on their website, with selected artworks also available on Art UK's online database. You can find links in the episode notes. Collectively will be released fortnightly from November until early spring 2022. Subscribe to where you get your podcasts to stay up to date with new content drops and any additional bonus audio. And do sign up to Towner Eastbourne's newsletter via their website and on socials, follow at Towner Gallery. And spread the queer love. Do rate and review Collectively, as it really helps other people find it.